Irritation. We've only just begun our new year, but already we find ourselves getting irritated with people and situations. We become impatient and annoyed easily, not completely losing our temper, but feeling frustrated and annoyed nonetheless. We already realize the signs, and we don't want our entire year to look like this. Mumbling, grumbling, muttering, fluttering about one thing and another. So how do we get off this road or avoid the turnoff altogether? That's the important question, but we have to look at ourselves carefully to see what's going on in our lives. Whereas anger is an explosion of emotions, sharp, harsh, often loud, even aggressive, irritation is that feeling of simmering frustration, that bubbling sense of annoyance that, if not caught and curtailed, can lead to full-blown anger. Frustration is a slow, steady response to something we don't like. It's a quiet emotion that builds inside and doesn't always show outside, says one source. I found this in myself as a young wife and mother. I'd be going along with the business of life when thoughts would enter that complained, "Why am I doing everything? Why can't my husband help more around the house with the kids, the cooking, the cleanup? Why is everything on my shoulders?" Then finally, days or weeks later, I'd snap at my husband about some inconsequential thing. My hostile response appeared to come out of nowhere. Meanwhile, it had been festering for some time. Much to my annoyance, I was becoming that quarrelsome wife of Proverbs. Can any of you relate? Either with your spouse, your friend, your coworker, or your boss. They've been doing the same thing for a while, and at first you've accepted it, then tolerated it, until finally it was completely unacceptable behavior or speech. It may be that initially you viewed the person's actions or words as just thoughtless, but when you attributed it to a deliberate attempt to hurt your feelings or undermine your goodwill, that's when you snap. Abigail's husband Nabal was such a person, and he incited agitation in all those around him. You may find this in certain family members. You can tolerate them in small doses, but if you're around them too much, the constant criticism or whining gets to you. They may have high expectations of your kindness and generosity, or low expectations of your friends and your abilities. Both extremes undermine your relationship and confidence to the point that even thinking about them causes you agitation. If we let this spill over into other areas of our lives, we may find ourselves short-tempered, anxious, and irritable. That's why it's important to stop it before it takes over our thoughts and emotions and clouds our day before we even get out of bed. Researchers suggest that unresolved irritability can affect our moods and emotions as well as our physical well-being. It can disrupt our goals and create conflict with other innocent parties. It can certainly dampen our relationship with God as our thoughts become more difficult to control and we can't find the good in any situation. There are some simple things that the medical professionals suggest, like reducing our caffeine intake, which means limiting our sodas and cups of coffee. Another is getting enough rest, as frustrations can rob us of adequate sleep. Third is healthy eating, not too much or not too little, as overindulgence or excessive dieting can result in an irritable mind. Agitation can also be overcome with healthy exercise, a brisk walk or run, and regular calisthenics. Make sure you check out any headaches or back pain that you're experiencing, for chronic pain can rob you of joy at any time and shadow your ability to see joy in the moment. Finally, check out the people you're hanging around with. Do they complain, criticize, or burst into anger or cussing? Their attitude and reactions could be rubbing off on you. As much as it depends on you, limit your interaction with them and weaponize yourselves against their negativity by applying the shoes of peace, helmet of salvation, and shield of faith, which will help you withstand the influence of their grumbling. Regardless of how careful we are still likely to get irritated. When it happens, we need to take a step back, analyze what just happened, or recognize a pattern to the irritation and institute ways to cut it off before it escalates. Now, for instance, I'm honestly telling my husband when I'm overwhelmed or needing help, as I know he's more than willing to assist, rather than trying to do everything on my own and then get frustrated when it's too much for me. This might even be necessary at work if you've been called upon to do too much or someone else's responsibilities have been added to your workload. Often we need to reassess our reaction. Was it warranted or extreme? If our impatience grew from not addressing a smaller problem earlier, then we need to calmly and thoughtfully deal with it now and find ways to handle it sooner before it becomes a major issue. The writer of Proverbs offers a lot of sound advice in this area, and some people choose to read a chapter in Proverbs every day to gain healthy insights into life and work. If our impatience comes from our own selfishness, we need to face up to us. To it. The children of Israel were acting this way during their long journey in the wilderness, a journey caused by their own rebellion. Despite God's continued generosity with water from the rock and manna from heaven, the people still complained. Have we wanted things our own way and become irritated when others don't do just what we want? James advises that jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic, he says, but God's wisdom is peace-loving, gentle, at all times, and willing to yield to others. Perhaps our irritation is caused by our disappointments. We think God should not have allowed bad things to happen to us, or should have already given us what we asked for. Job speaks to God in this manner, saying, "My complaint is with God, not with people. I have good reason," he says, "to be so impatient." Well, we know he was frustrated about all of the terrible things that had happened, but he was also frustrated that the wicked seemed to prosper while he suffered so bitterly, and his friends were so useless in their comfort. When that happens, chat with God and about how you feel and let him give you understanding regarding his delays or his decisions. Another possible reason may be that we've engaged in thoughts or activities that we know don't please God. We're not doing everything we should at work or at church, and so we find ourselves really struggling and getting irritated by those things around us and within us. We've become prideful, which has led us into arguments with others and disobedience with God. King Saul let this happen to himself, and he cussed out his beloved son Jonathan, and he threatened his best soldier, David. If that's the case, we need to humble ourselves before God, that he may lift us up, as we read in James. To prevent irritation from boiling over into anger, we need to find its source and contend with it. Where we're insufficient, he is all sufficient. God is master over all of our problems, and he will help us to be sensible and even-tempered, as we'll read about in Proverbs 17 and Proverbs 19. And when we take a breath and let him move, we're going to be able to see him empower us to be able to grab hold of our irritation and smooth it out so the waters are calm again. So, beloved, give him your irritations, great and small, and let him mold you into the person who can not only handle them, but shine through them. God bless you, beloved. God bless you.